We're getting ready now for our third and final presentation, which is given by Paul Arbison and Derek Sherman.
Great. So my name is Paul Arbison, and I'm with the Washington Academy of Sciences in Washington, D.C., where you all will be next year, right? I'm working with my friend and the man who inspired me to do this kind of work, Derek Sherman, at Calvin University. We are both focused on engineering, so we are seeking to apply the kind of theological discussion that you all have been hearing in this conference. And we have a little practical application that we're going to talk about here. And we're focusing on the humanitarian needs of people around the world that may not have the kind of money and internet access that we all enjoy.
And if you're if you have a device with you, feel free to look for a station ID on the Wi-Fi network called Archie Pi. You can connect to it. It's an open Wi-Fi network, and you go to the address 10.10.10.10, and make sure it's not HTTPS, but http://10.10.10.10. We're going to be talking about that device. So just by way of very brief introduction, I taught computer science for a number of years at Redeemer and now at Calvin University. And as part of that work, I took students on service trips overseas to places like Nicaragua, Dominican Republic, Nigeria, Zambia, and observed firsthand some of the challenges in the majority world countries that they have with, especially in schools, K-12 schools, but also universities and Christian colleges with computers and with teaching computing, and saw firsthand some of the challenges of the digital divide. One of my first projects was actually bringing old computers that were basically cast-offs from different Christian colleges and bringing them overseas in large containers and these sorts of things, and found out very, very quickly that was an inappropriate way to solve the problem. It was basically exporting e-waste to other nations, and had a variety of challenges. I wrote about those problems in a Perspectives in Science and Christian Faith article in 2015, March of 2015, titled "Introducing Open Source and the Raspberry Pi to Schools in Developing Nations," and have since then been working very heavily with the Raspberry Pi, which is an example of which is here up front. And the Raspberry Pi is actually and Paul will tell us more about it, is a small computer that's about the size of a deck of cards that can run a full desktop operating system. And so we were setting these up in computer labs. You could take a whole lab down to a overseas country in a small carry-on suitcase. And these worked very, very well. But I quickly found that not only do they need computers, they need content. And many of these schools had very small libraries. I went to a university in Nigeria that had maybe 6 bookcases of books in their library. Very, very few, if not maybe less than 10 bookcases. And I've seen professors with more books in their office than I've seen at this school. And so the content was what motivated me into this project. Project is called the Archie Pi. Archie stands for Another Remote Community Hotspot for Instruction and Learning and Education. And it's an internet in a box. So it's basically a small Raspberry Pi that powers up as a Wi-Fi access point with tons and tons of content, including Wikipedia, Khan Academy, and then Christian education resources and all kinds of other things. So while we're presenting, feel free to give it a spin on your own phone or computing device. But I'll pass it off to Paul now to continue the presentation.
So there's several ways we can approach the problem, but let's take a look at education in remote places. This is a report from UNESCO about education in sub-Saharan Africa, and it pointed out that Africa needs 30,000 or more new teachers before 2030. But the actual number of teachers is declining. And so this is an example of a need that we may be able to address with some technology. And also, it's not just educating children, but educating adults. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the opportunities for agricultural education, other things that can be very helpful to people in dispersed areas. ICT is the acronym that UNESCO uses. It means information and communications technologies. So that's what we're doing here. ICT in education, they say that it needs to be effective by fully integrating it into the pedagogy. So we have to have a two-way street going here. We don't just want to dump technology on some group and expect them to figure it out and use it. We need to establish a feedback relationship with the people in the location where we want to provide some kind of a introduction of a technology. These are some examples of the way it's been done in a classroom in Rwanda. And you can see the kids all have small computers and laptops. A lot of the things that I see generally in some of these low-income countries is they aspire to be more like developed countries like America, Canada. They want to copy us. They want all the way up to including our Cadillacs and Lincolns and, you know, Teslas and whatever, and all of our high-tech technology. And that may not be necessary or desirable. So there's other ways to deal with this. We know that a lot of people migrate to cities, but there's millions of people that still do not live in cities. They're dispersed and dilute. If you look on population maps, you find that there's a lot of little villages that are almost invisible in the bush all over in sub-Saharan Africa. They don't have access to the internet quite often. They don't have even electricity in many cases. So quite often they do have cell phones, and cell phones have been widely accepted all over these areas. But they may not have screens like our smartphones, but they do allow verbal communication very widely, and that could be utilized. Here's where we enter this device, the Raspberry Pi, this little computer. Now, there's one running right here that Derek has just started, and it is, as you can see, it is not plugged into anything. It's running on a battery, and it's fully self-contained. If this is a server, it's transmitting light. It's transmitting a signal at a certain frequency channel, and you can get it on your smartphone. So we'll do some more with that in a little while. The content for the Raspberry Pi is on a micro SD card that can have up to 128 gigabytes of capacity. And that's a lot of memory. That will hold hundreds of hours of videos, thousands of hours of audio, vast collections of texts, any kind of educational materials or communication, entertainment, whatever you want to put on the content. Now, Derek has developed this Archie Pi, and he has created software that has gathered together these resources, this content. This is a menu of all the options that are available, and you can install this content on the Archie Pi. You connect to some place where there is an internet, and you can download these files and put them on the little micro SD card. So this allows us to control the content and load up as much as will fit on that card. So the benefits are this breaks the connection to the internet, which is kind of a good thing in many ways, as we can see nowadays with all the misinformation and bad stuff that's floating around in the internet, which is just really a wild environment. This puts some content control into that environment, provides a distribution of this kind of modern knowledge, like in video content, to people everywhere. Lots of content is available and is being made available, including things like physics demonstrations, scientific experiments and things that you can show people through the video and through maybe simulations in software. It provides security because we are entirely controlling the content that goes on the device, and you can also control, prevent people from putting other things on it. It's obviously portable. As you can see, this is completely standalone. You have to have some electricity somewhere to charge up the battery, but that doesn't take a lot of power. And so you can run a whole classroom, and this server is right now transmitting about 1,000 meters, so it'll fill this whole room. And so everybody in the room could have access to this. So if you're in a classroom environment, this provides a way that that kids can have their phone and they can see the content and do tests. It's a two-way communication, so you can do a lot of things with this kind of tool. This is a photo from a little charity called Classrooms for Africa. It's a Canadian-based nonprofit, and they allowed us to share some of their pictures of what they're doing. We've done some work in the Sahara, educating women. In this case, this is a little session explaining to women how to use solar cookers, which is another technology that I've talked about in previous ASA meetings. Also, this can be used for pastor and missionary education. This is a couple, the Harpers, who have been running a mission program, church planting and pastoral education in southern Mozambique for many years. And I met with them, actually, they came to DC area just a week ago, and I talked to them about this, and I asked them if they could possibly use something like this. And they said, well, yes, I think we could. In fact, we work with people in 6 different language groups in our region of the country. And if we could get some teachers that speak those local languages and put them on video and put this together, we could distribute this kind of content much cheaper. We wouldn't have to multiply all the teachers. We just have to multiply the content. So this is a possible leverage factor. Another aspect that is exciting to me is the use of these tools for agricultural education. And for example, another ASA partner is the ECHO organization down in South Florida that does research on better crops and seeds that could be used in places like sub-Saharan Africa to help them improve crop fruitfulness and also grow and make disciples. They do it all. They help to educate farmers on better practices and provide them with better seeds. They have been doing work by actually going to some place like Nairobi and doing seminars and training for hands-on with people. What if they could distribute this information freely, simply, at low cost, through a device like this? It would spread the news about this a lot easier. So at this point, let me just ask you to take your phone and go to the settings, if you haven't done so already.
But yeah, and then you need to make sure you go to 10.10.10.10, and then you'll find there a list of, I don't know, a dozen different resources, including like an image of Wikipedia, a subset of Khan Academy, something called Khan Academy Lite. Science Made Easy videos is from a professor at Redeemer University College, Professor Brower. He's got hours and hours and hours of science demonstrations with very, very basic materials. And then the Kyers Institute for Christian Education at Calvin University has given me their content. And you'll find that content on there as well, Christian education resources for K-12 schools. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. If you have content and you want to use a device like this to distribute it, let me know. I have some students who can work and package some of these things. We just got to make sure we have copyright and permissions to distribute content. So, yeah, back to you, Paul.
So we can show you hands-on if you want to. If you're interested in pursuing this, give you a one-on-one demonstration after our break. But in principle, this is the product. And let me show you a little bit more about how this can be applied. What if people don't have smartphones? You know, another option is to connect another Raspberry Pi to a display, and then you can hook up like an HDMI screen, for example, with one of these LCD projectors. And there are several of these on the market now that are under $100, and they have a very bright display. They could be set up in a classroom. You hang a sheet down, and you could display this and use this for video or films or lectures or anything, any kind of content like that. So that would be another way to do it in a classroom environment. So this is just a small sample of some of the resources that we found available. In a way, the way I'm thinking about this is, here's our Raspberry Pi, and the content can come from many different sources. The ones I listed here include the Christian Leaders Institute, which is an organization that has set up an internet-based education program with content of all kinds of subjects, including some pretty good stuff on Hermann Dorward's philosophy and a wide range of things. And they provide recordings and lectures of these teachers that are gathered around the country. This content can be put into the chip on the Raspberry Pi. So that provides the input. Then the output goes to all these different users in different locations, missionaries. Just last week, I heard from a pastor, Oheni Kumi, who is from Ghana, coming to our area to visit his daughter, who is in college. And he expressed an interest in using this for his vacation Bible school and his other classes that he does in Ghana and Togo. So we're seeking to get some beta experience with users like this in these different locations and see how it works, how well it can be applied to them. And now, of course, Echo has a system on their website called echonet.org, where they provide the content on agricultural best practices, and there's tons of brochures and flyers and descriptions and videos that they provide on agricultural educational resources. But this allows that kind of content to go to the farmers that really need it, that might be in a remote rural area somewhere. So we are seeking to make this the Raspberry Pi a bridge to these underserved communities around the world. So that's our story.
Yeah, just to quickly add another note, if you want to play around with it, this is the webpage you can go to. It has complete instructions about how you can take a Raspberry Pi, which costs about $100. There's a bit of a supply chain issue right now for Raspberry Pis, but that's expected to resolve in the next quarter or so. But they run around $100. This web address includes step-by-step instructions about how to take an SD card, set it up for the ArchiPi system, and then it includes tools where you can, through a text interface, just select the modules you want to install on your SD card and have it set up. And then basically you reboot the computer and it becomes a Wi-Fi access point. You don't need a screen, you don't need a keyboard. All you need is the Raspberry Pi and a power source. And we have these running on solar panels in Zambia and other places too. They take about 7 watts of power, and you can have a dozen or dozens of people actually streaming content from it. Archie, again, is another remote community hotspot for instruction and education. It's an acronym. There are other people who've built products like this too. This is completely open source and free. And I have students and funding in order to help package more materials or help people who want to work with this platform to disseminate content in places where there's no internet. So I don't know if we want to leave the last few minutes for questions, if there are any.
If you want to look at the content, I've got it loaded up on my laptop. Yep. Anyway, here, if you want to take a look at that.
I suspect there are some questions, so let's open the floor for that. Thank you.
You've sort of answered this already, but I was thinking, because I've tried to buy Raspberry Pis over the last year or so, and it seems almost impossible. So maybe this won't be an issue in the future, but I just wondered, had you looked at any alternative devices? Do you have any suggestions for good alternatives out there right now to Raspberry Pis?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the name. Like, there are banana pies and different fruits. I don't know, cherry pie, banana pie. There's another one, too, called the name just slips my mind now. But any ARM-based platform that can run Linux. So the underlying operating system here is Linux. It's based on all open educational resources and open source software. There's a variety of replacements. The Raspberry Pi is the preferred one because it's well understood and well supported, and there's a huge community behind it. And but like I said, my understanding is the next quarter, some of the supply chain issues will add up. And there's millions of these devices in the wild already. So it's a well-known platform for education.
So, you know, ASA covers a lot of different content. As you can see in our last couple of hours, we've heard talks about Unix. Now we're hearing about Linux. So it kind of goes that way.
So just to clarify, if I were to produce an SD card, it's not yet possible for me to just copy your thing whole right now. Is that right?
We could provide an image of the card so that you could just, yeah, with imaging software, just make a card if you wanted to. I mean, I haven't thought about distributing it that way, but we could certainly pop an image on a website and let people just download an SD card image, and then you don't have to do anything except just copy it and burn it, and away you go.
I just see a lot of application for this in a thousand areas, you know?
Yeah, and we have instructions about how to add your own content if you want as well on that webpage, GitHub webpage.
Yeah, so my question is about the content. Have you reached out to people who might benefit from this and asked them what content they would want? Because that's my question, I guess. How do you figure out which content is appropriate in different contexts?
Sure. As I said, it was a two-way street. So we would ask people, what kind of content would you like to distribute? Think of this as you have one good teacher, and that teacher has limited ability to travel. What could we put on there that would be useful for sharing with more people? So it's basically like an internet, but the bandwidth is in the SD card that you carry around in your truck.
Now, that's an important question, right? The whole book, When Healthy Hurts, talks about imposing sort of our ideas of what people ought to be doing. I mean, it's an open platform, it's open source.
We have communities in Nicaragua that are meeting and building their own content for Christian school teachers in Nicaragua. But I've always asked, give me your content and I'll bundle it on there for you. But the big thing right now is getting content and contextually appropriate content for different countries. Even in terms of curriculum, like the curriculum in Zambia is different than the curriculum in Kenya in terms of what the ICT requirements are for K-12. And so getting some of that stuff locally set up is something that I think is work that needs to be ongoing. But we're willing to help. I have actually some student time and donation. A benefactor has given me money to actually set up this stuff and to help with it. So if you have content and you have you have legitimate legal copyright to it, so that we can send it out into the wild, we can help. We can help you package that. As long as it's not illicit, illegal, or immoral, we'll help you out with it. So yeah.
Related to that, the content that you have. You do have to do this in different languages also as you travel around the world. So you're able to handle that also. I mean,
so the existing modules that we have are based on what's freely available in open educational resources. We have content in Spanish, Arabic, and French. And that's mostly from the Wikipedia Foundation. So Wikipedia has Wikipedia, it has Wikipedia, it's got Wikimedia, it's got Wiktionary, it's got a whole set of open source educational resources that fall under the category, the general name KiwiX, K-I-W-I-X, that's the platform that they use. And our Archie Pi supports all the KiwiX modules from the Wikimedia Foundation, as long as they can run in 2 gigabytes of RAM or less. So there are space requirements. But a Raspberry Pi now comes with up to 8 gigabytes of RAM just in this little device for like $50 or $60. So it's but yeah, the language is certainly one that that we're trying to add more support for. But again, we need content in order to enhance that.
Thank you. It seems to me this is very good. I'm Ray. I am a high school science teacher from the Philippines. So my question is, how could I access the professional development?
Thank you. Yeah, so start at that GitHub webpage, github.com/Archie-Pi has all of the step-by-step directions to like burn your own SD card from scratch. And then if you have content that you'd like to add for the Philippines that you've got that you own the copyright for, we could help you package that if you'd like, or you could follow the instructions on that webpage about how to package it yourself. That's the hope, that people can take this and run with it themselves, and that's why it's an open source platform. So, but thank you for your interest. This is the coveted last spot of the conference, but I hope that that you enjoy the last few moments of fellowship, and I'm grateful that you came out to hear our presentation, and blessings on your travels home. Thank you.
Thank you. Session is now closed.